a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrow borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsakes me, and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He'll never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he, my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
You never know what you know. Store for thee. I enjoy that. I appreciate that. Amen. Thank them for doing that. Let's turn over to number 10 in the spiral book. Amen, amen, amen. We in F. Excuse me. Let me get in F. We talked about that downstairs a while ago. You got to be in the right gear. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees, given your own good time, you will answer my plea. Tell me not to reply on another's due, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Let's all stand. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Help me humble my pride and to call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes. Help me be in this earth what you want me to be. they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's do that first verse again now. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you'll answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Amen, amen, amen. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Don't forget now, we put some more prayer cloths up here. If you didn't get one this morning, if you want to put them in your house, put them over your door. Try to get rid of all of these bugs and things that's around. You know, if you come at the house and open the medicine cabinet door, there's a prayer cloth sticking there.
Right.
Why? Because that's the way we ought to believe it.
Right.
When you get your medicine, sanctify it just like you do eating. What's the problem?
Right.
I mean, it'll take you just a couple of minutes to say a little prayer over it. You know, it might just work. If you believe it. If you believe it, it might work. Amen. You enjoying the series that Wade's bringing? Let's get ready to do that. Remember now, the fellowship meeting this coming Saturday. Brother Longoria's, Alabama. If you want to go with us, let us know ahead of time. Be ready to go at 10:30 Saturday morning. We'll run over and be coming back, you know, that night and all, and fellowshipping together. We always stop somewhere and eat and have a good time. It's the reason we leave a little early, where there's no problems with all of the traffic and the doings and all. So just remember that if you want to go with us. All right? Let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart while Wade comes to minister the word of the Lord unto us. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Is that your desire? I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Do you? Turn around, shake his hand, say, God bless you. Yes?
Hello. There we go. Well, Josh told me, he said, turn that microphone off. They left it on. So I turned it off and didn't turn mine on. So I don't think you have a problem hearing me. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. I like this picture. See this picture? We're going to start using it a little bit as kind of background. And that kind of shows you what we're talking about.
Amen.
Christ is the head.
Right.
We're the body.
Amen.
So we're the body of God, but we must have these virtues in our life to be the body of God.
Amen.
All right? Sure, we're birthed into the body. We're sons and daughters down here. But he'd look kind of funny having the head stuck down here on the feet. Now, there's a functioning body. There's a lot of moving parts.
Amen.
In between the feet and the neck that brings all this thing together. So I kind of wanted to give you a little visual there to see. And Christ is the head. That is what we are. Christ is the head stone. He's Amen. The one. Our, what is stone? Revelation. So he's the head revelation.
Right.
All right? So if you want to, let's go ahead and turn to 2 Peter 1, and we'll continue our thought. I hope this morning was okay. We didn't get to where I wanted to get, but we can get to it now. Is it scratching? We're trying to. Brother Benny said it was scratching this morning. I think it may be coming from our collar. How about that? Yep, that better? Okay, I'll be still. I'm going to stand here all day, just like this. 2 Peter chapter 1. No. We'll be all right. I like this better than I do the harness because you don't feel anything on your head. That thing would pull, you know, on your head. So I like this underneath the collar. But we just got to get used to it. So just technology sometimes takes time. But 2 Peter 1, verse 1, and let's pray before we get started. I wanted Sister Frieda and them to sing that song because it struck me when we were laying the prayer cloths out, you know, the song says, a wall of fire around me. There's nothing now to fear. So that's what we got to do. We got to get a wall of fire around us.
Amen.
What happened to Gehazi and Elisha? Gehazi said, in other words, there's only two of us here, you know. And Elijah says, no, there's more of us than there are of them. He said, open my servant's eyes.
Right.
So you can see. When he did, he said, there was a ring of fire, chariots, all around that prophet in Gehazi. So we got to see that rim of fire around us to take care of all these natural problems that we got.
Right.
Okay? I want to take care of these natural problems because we're working on the spiritual man, but we got to have that natural man sharp too.
Right.
So that he can enjoy the service and not be sick. And you know how sickness it does? It takes your mind away from things. That's what Satan likes. He likes to take our mind away from stuff by giving us a sickness or a worry. What have I got? What's going to happen? How long is it going to be? How my temperature is going to be this? I'm going to be out of work. It's all that worry and that fear. So let's just take that fear out. Know that it's the devil. Know that he's trying to stop you. And then just stand there and wait on God to manifest himself. So let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, that you would sanctify us one more time for this journey that we're on. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make, Lord. We pray that you just touch the ones that are sick, Lord. Be with them, raise them up for your honor and glory, Lord. Truly, let there be a wall of fire around us. The Holy Spirit take care of all the things that we have, Lord, the little sicknesses and the worries and the problems, Lord. I pray that you would take them all away, Lord. That we'll look to your word, that we'll believe that your words are truth, and that it's our absolute, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with each one, Lord. Take care of the ones that are not here, ones that are away for different things, Lord. Be with Brother Luis. Take care of him, Lord. Raise him up, Lord. We all bind together and bind that power of Satan that's trying to stop his voice from being heard over there in the foreign countries. We pray that they'll have a very successful time even from now on, Lord. We pray that you just bless, take care, be with us, Lord, as we open your word and read it. May you bless the hearer and the speaker. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So who's he talking to? He's talking not to him, but he's talking to us, okay? Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. according as his divine power. They see, their divine power hath given us. Now, we ain't got to the virtues yet. We're not got to the virtues he's talking about. We're talking about the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All right, the way we live our life and how to live it godly. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, the prophet said, these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Can't partake of the divine nature till you do this. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right, stop, period. And besides this, besides this divine nature, besides this being a partaker of the divine nature of God, and beside this, giving all diligence. There's that word diligence, the great virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and all this temperance. Temperance, patience, and I'm really going to be glad to get into all these because they really will help us, I think. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if, there's that word, if, that little word that's very big, if these things be in you and abound, in you, not around you or an anointing that just comes on you while you're at church.
Right.
Right? If these things be in you, then everywhere you go, you carry them with you.
Right.
Okay? If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be, that we as Christians should be looking for, and that's to be, number one, be in love with God. And waiting for that body change. Because it's not going to happen. A baby is not going to take a body change.
No.
Jesus wasn't a baby. He was a man. All right? He was a man when his body was changed. All right? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's why there had to be a remembrance in the Old Testament every year of sin. Remember, you read that in Hebrews. That every year the high priest went behind the veil and he made an atonement for the sins. And people forgot about it. Same thing with you and I. Now, even at the new birth, sometimes we forget things. And we forget that we were purged from our old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's that word again. To make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Right.
Lord, may I add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. But remember this morning as we're talking about foundation, we put it as being required. Obviously, it is. But I don't think, and I think I was talking to somebody between the break, that most people don't feel it's a requirement, so it's not preached on that much. Right. It's just that we're in this age, and we're up here, and that's the automatic process. That since we're in the last age, we got all this, and we're waiting on the bus to pull up, as Brother Dale always says. But that's not the truth. We all start down there at faith,
right?
And then we go to virtue, knowledge, temperance, all the way up to the capstone. And remember, bring the full picture up. Brother Bob's running it today. So thanks, Brother Bob, for doing that. But you see, this is the full stature. The only way to get into this is to be born again.
Right.
All right, we're going to talk about faith this evening because you are going to have to believe in something. I know there's an old song, I think it's an old country song, said if you can't, don't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
Right.
You know, and that's the truth. If you don't stand for something, you got to put you, it doesn't matter, even when you were a sinner, there was things that you said, this is the way it is, and this is the way it is, and this is the way. There was something that you stood for. But now we're talking about now life and godliness. We're taking those things, life. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You'll fall for any doctrine. You'll fall for any sleight of the devil. You know, I'm quoting Scripture, really.
Yeah.
Any sleight of the devil or cunning craftiness. Remember we read it this morning, how that false teachers come in, and they, you know, give you something to, that they'll give you a false hope. Okay, but we're talking about the faith of God. The new birth is not the faith of the devil or anyone else. The new birth is the faith of God being delivered to you. You have to believe to see,
right.
Not see to believe.
Right.
All right. You say, well, I don't see myself coming to whatever. Well, that means you don't believe.
Right.
All right. Or maybe, let's put it this way, maybe you don't understand how to get it. Like I was talking about the electrician with Brother Tim. You don't know how to get there. Because
right.
You can have the new birth and not be taught well and not know how to get to a place.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And what the problem is when you get the preachers of the message, because see, Peter had to have these virtues working in his life
right.
for him to be able, for it to be in the eternal word of God, he could not preach it presumptuously.
Right. Right.
Brother Branham didn't preach anything presumptuously. What he preached, he saw.
Amen.
All right, because if he didn't, then he's, remember what he said? He said, if God don't break those seals, he said, we're just what? Presuming.
Right.
And presuming is venturing without authority. And that's the problem with a lot of people in the message. They venture out without the authority of God. They have the power. But they don't have the character yet.
Right.
Okay? So power apart from character is what? Satanic. But power with character is fit to what? Rule. You and I must have dominion. To me, all in a nutshell, you don't ever have to come back anymore. This is the whole message. This is dominion. This is the dominion of we have lost the dominionship of our patience.
Right.
That's why we need to have the patience of God.
Right.
Because I believe that Adam walked in the Garden of Eden with these virtues.
Right.
Because he had the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost are these virtues.
Yeah.
Right? Now what did he do? Now when Adam was walking in through the Garden of Eden before the fall, Adam would say, that's a lion, that's a tiger.
Yeah.
Wind stop, wind blow. And remember, God wasn't looking over his shoulder. Come on.
Right.
God wasn't looking over his shoulder going, now Adam, I wouldn't have called that a tiger. No, Adam was a son of God. He had the mind of God. God was working through him, and God said, that's what that'll be for an eternity. Adam named the animals, and they'll never be different.
Right.
So he had dominion, Genesis 1:26. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and all the creeping things on the earth. This is dominion. Because remember, when Brother Branham came to that mountain, the storm and the deer and all those things, remember, he was at the stage of adoption where it wasn't God speaking, it was Brother Branham speaking. But it was God speaking. You understand what I'm saying? But God trusted what he said. Remember he told Brother Branham, he said, whatever you say. You're out here hunting. You're out here doing these things. You're out here doing these things. What do you need?
Right.
You speak it.
Right.
All right? Now, he wasn't right here. That didn't happen in 1947.
Right.
But remember, the first message Brother Branham preached was what?
Faith
the substance. Last sermon he preached was, Bob, communion.
Right.
All right? First sermon was faith. Last sermon, that's the communion with God right there.
Amen.
Sure, you're communing with God here. It's like Bob and I were discussing just a few minutes ago. You have your wife, and you have the only way I can understand God is by natural things.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you say supernatural, there's a natural in there. Supernatural. So it had to come. We had to learn it naturally, like you and your wife. You know, your wedding night, you consummate the wedding, and it's like the love between you and God. But remember, then you learn each other on through the time.
Right.
That's not just it.
Right.
You learn to love and learn to do these things. Same thing with God. Because your relationship with God starts at the new birth.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
All right? It doesn't stop there. It continues on. It continues on until it comes to the headstone, to where it's like the analogy we use somewhere that a little boy, 5 or 6 years old, he's a human. He has a brain. You know, take Brother West back there. Take your boy. He's a human, right? He's got two eyes on each. He got two eyes on each side of his nose. He's got an eye on each side of his nose. But now, give him your car keys, let him drive you home today. No, don't shake your head. He's a human. He's just the same thing you are. He ain't got a hairy face like you do, but soon he will. But give him your car keys. He's got every faculty you got. Right? He's got everything you got. He's a human being. He's your son. You should trust him driving a car. Same way with God. God's not going to give you the keys to his car right here.
Right.
He's going to give you the keys to the car up here.
Right.
He's not going to give you the keys down here. Yet you are a son. Right?
Right.
Robbie, how many kids have you stopped driving a car at 5 years old? I hope none. You stop adults, right? Okay. So then they are able, by what's instilled in man, we come to a place to where we say, what? 16 years old, you are mature enough to handle driving a car. But now, let's go a little bit further. You take that 16-year-old and you don't give him the key to a 250-mile-an-hour dragster. Same car. Four wheels. Steering wheel. Brakes. Clutch. It just goes faster. So what does he have to do? When he turns 16, he has to learn and grow to drive faster. And that's the same way with God. That's the only way I see it. When I started the baby form with God, when I started at faith, God gave me all the things I needed. I was a kid. I was crying. But I was unskillful. I only could drink milk. But you know what? There was a desire in my heart to eat strong meat. Because, see, I could look at the adults and say, man, I'd rather eat that steak than to eat these peas ground up in this baby food.
Yeah.
You eat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many of you would want to eat ground up green peas right now?
Yeah.
No. But you know what? At one time, that's all you could handle.
Right.
Same way with God. That's why I said, why don't we try to grow with God as the same way that we see ourselves grow up? Because even the Godhead can be understood by the things you see.
Right.
All right? Same thing with adoption. They never adopted a little boy. That boy had to come to an age to where he could be responsible enough to handle what you give him.
Right.
Same way with God. Same way with God. He's not, and you know what? He doesn't expect you to drive a car at 5 years old.
Right.
He don't expect you to do the things at five that you would do at 50 or whatever. But with God, there's no time limit with God.
Right.
I've seen some 18-year-old people that come into the message, get born again, be on fire with God, that's got a lot more understanding than the people's been in the message for 30 years or 40 years. But you know what? It's what you make yourself available for.
Amen.
And that's what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to make this available where we can all grow. Don't leave nobody behind.
Right.
We want everybody to grow. But there's one thing for sure. We're not all going to get to the same place at the same time.
Right.
So just understand that. Just understand that. And you know what? There are some 16-year-olds that I wouldn't give a car key to. Yet the law legally says he can drive, or she. A lot of she's. But I wouldn't give them the keys. Why? Because of the maturity.
Right.
Because of their background. Because of their training. That's the same way with God. We need to be skilled in the Word of God, and the only way we can be skilled in the Word of God is to hear it.
Right.
Let it come from here down to here. I like where Sharon. Sharon says, not up here, down here.
Right.
And that's right.
Right.
You can get it all up here, but when it don't go down to here, I like that. Very simple. Not here, here. That's what we're trying to do with this. This is not head knowledge of God.
Right.
This is the knowledge that God puts in here, that he wants it to work out. He wants and I don't think I have it, but we'll read it later on. He wants us to be a walking instrumentality of God.
Right.
That's what he wants for all of us. But we got to start with a foundation of faith.
Right.
All right? So if these things are a requirement, we can't skip one. We got to grow in grace and knowledge. We've been here 50-something years since the prophet preached. We're still here.
Yep.
The reason we're still here is because I'm not ready. I'm not ready. That's the reason I'm still here. We're all still here is because I'm not ready. Because remember, we all go together. Right? So I'm blaming me. You need to blame you. Okay? I'm not going to blame you because I don't know where you are. You're going to have to blame you. And if you're still sitting here and you're not raptured, you need to blame you. Praise the Lord anyhow. So now then we look and we see that the headstone was rejected. Now, to take that away is not that God went away somewhere. Man's ideas took that away.
Right?
God didn't ever leave. But the fullness of God left. It always, let me try to put it right. It's always been in the Word. But down through the time in say, in Nicaea, you know, the first three church ages, they had all these things working in their life, right?
Right.
All right, so you get to the fourth church age, which is Columba. You see that they eroded it. They eat all the effects of the Word down. And then there had to be a restoration. So the head, like I said this morning, the head had to become a corner.
Right.
Right? He didn't leave. He just come down here. And you know what he done? He's hiding himself. He's hiding himself down here in the foundation so that he can grow right back up. If a corn of wheat die and go in the ground, it'll bring forth much fruit.
Right.
But if you don't put it in the ground, it abideth alone.
Right.
He would have been the only one could come to maturity. But it's not true. He wants us all to come to maturity.
Right.
All right? So he had to start down here, Brother Donnie. He had to give us an example.
Right.
That same example that walked on the earth had to be the very first baby example that we have down here.
Amen.
All right? So everybody understand that. So when you see cornerstone and headstone, sure, he's the headstone of the church.
Right.
He's the head, which is what? The intelligence.
Right.
Everything that happens from the neck down has to happen from what's up here.
Right.
All right? Amen?
Amen.
All right? Has to happen up here first, and it goes through here down into your body. Same way with God. It all starts with the head. Then it flows down through the body. Because remember Sister Shepherd's dream? They were pouring the water in and the water was boiling out the trash.
Amen.
Being washed by the water of the Word. The water was running it out and doing away with our contrary virtue. Contrary knowledge. I said contrary to God. Our contrary temperance. He's burning or pouring or boiling all that. Brother Brown said boiling. Boiling all that trash out. And remember, the trash was running down the side of that mountain. Same way with you and I. He's trying to burn the trash out so it's run down the side of the mountain. But there's only one way to do that, and that's by the new birth. No other way. You can make this thing Alcoholics Anonymous. You can suppress that demon so much. That's what's happening now. These people leaving the message, the people turning the message down, they never was born again.
Right.
You can't leave the apex of the Word and say that you're born again.
Right.
So what they done was, though, to Trudy, they just suppressed all that back stuff. They just suppressed all that down, but you know what happens? It's still there. Still, you can hide it. Right. It don't go away. So I said, This Christianity is not Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
And for those of you that don't know and hadn't been through the program, Alcoholics Anonymous says once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. You've just got to suppress that thing. You've got to do things different. You've got, no, I don't believe that. Brother Brown said, remember that girl, Georgie Carter, I believe it was, or one of the girls, that he said she was an alcoholic. She was a prostitute. He said, now she's a wife, she's testifying God, and she's a Christian woman. Same woman. Same woman.
Right.
Same person you see, but the power of God took that old nature out. Okay? Listen, so I was going to try to say that this morning. Everybody says, you know, they talk about the seed being in you, and that's that desire. Listen, people, if you're a human being, God put every human being from Adam on this earth with a desire in their heart to serve God. Isn't that what the prophet of God said? Every person on this earth, he gave you a desire to serve God. Now, what you did with it and I did with it, we took that desire and we went to smoking. We took that desire and we went to drinking. We took that desire and went to XYZ. It doesn't matter. But it was a desire to serve God to begin with.
Amen.
It's that old nature that we lean to that's contrary to any of this. Our old nature has a temper.
Oh, yeah.
Don't have a lot of patience. Definitely ain't got no godliness. You understand what I'm saying? So what it has to be not that we suppress it. It has to be a total conversion. Justified is the path we take to start with. Justification. All right, we turn from our old sin and we start in a new direction. All right, we'll get into that in just a minute, but let's just to review all this. We're talking about the cornerstone. Now we're coming up to where we were talking about faith this morning, and we read the quote where Brother Branham said, he said, leave it right there. He said that your faith is going to determine how high you go.
Right.
Okay, it's your faith. But what you're going to have is you're going to have faith in what a fivefold ministry says. Didn't I read Ephesians 4? He gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. All right? So that's how we got to get it. We got to listen. You got to hear. Can you get it from the prophet? He said you could. He said, I give it to the ministers and they break it down. Right? Okay? That's why, you know, and I don't want you to get this wrong, but Brother Tim and I were talking about it because a lot of people are beginning to realize, and Brother Dale's always taught us this, that Brother Branham was not our absolute. You hear what I'm saying? Let me finish. Because Brother Branham was a human and he made mistakes, just like I make mistakes. But the word he brought.
Amen.
But now remember, not the word he brought on paper. Everybody okay?
Right.
Not the word he brought on paper. Because the word he brought on paper is just what I said this morning. They got polygamy, two soul, seven thunder. It all comes out of the message. The written part of what Brother Branham said, they're making all kind of denominations. Same way with God. When God was on earth, he wrote, there was four books written. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 30,000 denominations have come from those four Gospels. So it's not the written word that's an absolute.
Right.
It's the written word revealed.
Amen.
Is the absolute. Right. Amen? So the written word revealed being the absolute, we can take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see that the prophet had to come to bring that together, take the loose ends, put them all back together and say, look, this is what Jesus was saying.
Right.
Amen? So it's not that we Brother Branham in the purity of the message is our absolute.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because it's like Brother William said, the word is the highest apex of God. So that's our absolute. Is the word of God revealed like God? Because you know what? The Baptist says God revealed me a Trinity. Out of the Bible, right? No, he didn't. Right? He didn't. God didn't reveal a Trinity to anybody. Right? Never was in the Bible. But man takes that out. That's why the prophet had to come to straighten those things out, get them all back together. And you know what? Just like we talked about Zerubbabel. That's what he done. He swept that thing off and started again. He told the Pentecostals, he said, you got to go through these three stages of grace. He said, you just don't come right here and go, well, I got the Holy Ghost because I shouted, spoke in tongues, whatever. That ain't it. Zerubbabel swept that foundation and started again and built what God started in the beginning. That prophet of God brought us the whole apex of the Word. Amen? The prophet of God brought us that whole apex of the Word. But what our problem is Satan got into that and started injecting two souls, seventh, you know, name the doctrine, it doesn't matter. Because you know what? That's not the doctrines. Doctrines like that never come through here.
Right.
Now listen, hold on a minute though. Babies can't be shook.
Right.
Mature men cannot be shook, women.
Right.
But can be shook.
Right.
Right? Let's read something here. Let's read number 4. We're going to start... We're not going to read that. Go to quote number 4, Brother Bob. We talked about this morning that, thank you. We talked about this morning, we have to go through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, so here we're going to see, we saw the analogy that Brother Branham made about the cup or the glass, all right? So watch, what is redemption? Redemption is not replacement. So we fail as human beings, we fail. Right. So God's got to restore us back, all right? So in the restoring back, sure, the pure word of God had to come through the prophet of God to make us, help us understand what God's really, what he really was talking about. So the plan of redemption is going to be just like the earth. Right? Just like the natural earth has got to go through it, the spiritual earth has got to go through it first. Because remember, man, who fell first, the earth or man? Man fell first. So everything under him fell. In Romans 8 it says they became subject to the one that it fell. They came subject. When Adam fell, the animals fell, all nature fell. Well, now to take us back, it can't start with the earth. It's got to start with the one it fell from. It's got to start with man. When man gets back to the place, then nature comes back to the place. All right? So that's what we're going to see right here, and then we'll get started a little bit into justification and sanctification. I know it's simple, but sometimes we really need to understand, are we really justified? Are we really sanctified? And honestly, do we really have the Holy Ghost where we can start and begin for God to work in our life? All right, so, and notice how God makes plain, this is on Future Home, 1964. God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Oh, this just thrilled my soul when I saw it, how he makes plain to us here now his plan of redemption. Now, compare what we see, that's what I just told you. Compare what we see with our own eyes. What we see, the natural things that we see. What God has done to redeem his world, he's done the same plan to redeem his people. For the unchangeable God changes not in any of his plan or anything. Such a glorious thing. How he led us to himself, to a tabernacle in us by three stages of grace. Just like he's led the world in three stages to come to the world. As God will come to the world after it's gone through three different stages of purification, that's exactly how he comes to us through three stages of grace. I taught that at the beginning. See, there's a doctrine in the message, and I know some of you heard it, but some of you hadn't, that Brother Branham changed his way. He, in other words, when the seals opened, he got a greater revelation, and it was just to believe the message. And that was the new birth. We've all heard that, or the ones that had heard it know what I'm talking about. But what did he say right here? I taught that at the beginning. I've never changed since. Why has he never changed since? It's God's word. You have to keep your threes together, your sevens, your twelves. The numerics of the Bible must run perfect or you'll get your picture all messed up. If you can't understand it, just keep praying. You watch. It'll cut right in exactly. God is perfected in threes. See? Notice how God makes it plain to us. And if that wasn't a great confirmation, a great loving blessing from God, when I see this and see that since a boy, first time ever Christ dealt with me, I've still always taught those three stages. Now, where'd he change? Where'd he change? He said, since I was a boy, I've taught these three stages of grace. Notice if it isn't true now. Now, the first step is repentance toward God. And then follows after that is water baptism. Water baptism. Repent. Says repent first. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, water baptism follows, showing that the repentance was genuine. Amen. That's been our problem. We tried to get them to the water without getting them to repent. Right. If you get them to repent and then get them to the water, much better lineup there. Because it says here, repent, be baptized. See, water baptism follows, showing that repentance was genuine. Are to remit our past sins. That has nothing to do with future sin. Everybody understand that? Say amen. Alright? It only remits. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for remission? Taking away of past sin has nothing to do with the future.
Right.
Just your sin has been chopped off what you did. Now stop right there for a moment, and it's a whole nother sermon, but what he's doing is when he talks about the future home with the earth, for some of you that don't have a background like the others, the earth went through a water baptism, right? In Noah's day, right? The flood washed the past sin of the earth off. But remember, sin still came across the ark. Once justification in the type of the world being, you know, everybody was killed except eight people. Right? Eight people was all that was saved on this whole world. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it is today. So there was as many people or more on the earth then as they are now. So it took and destroyed everybody but eight people. But the very next day that they got off the ark, Noah made a sacrifice showing that the sin had come on across the earth. Why do you need a sacrifice if there's no sin? So what justification does, it chopped off their past sin. Same way with Rahab the harlot. How do you think she married that Israeli general? Woman, where are your accusers? Isn't that what Jesus said to the woman they threw down in front of him? Woman, where's your accusers? He had to get rid of her accusers. Same way with Rahab. Everybody was killed in the whole city except her and her family. So all the accusers, because remember, she was a harlot. So she had friends. You understand what I mean? If they were all killed, all of her witnesses were gone. Okay? Same way with you and I. We did it. We did it. That woman that was in front of Jesus, when she was caught in the act of adultery, she did the act. He just didn't see it. Jesus didn't see it. He couldn't. But now, if some of those people would have stayed there, he would have had to let them stone her. But he got rid of her witnesses. And he said, I didn't see you do it. That's what he does now. Our sins are covered. Not just covered. They're taken away. And that's the same way with the earth. The earth's sins was wiped off, but remember, they started sinning the day Noah got drunk. They come on down, and you know, they started back sinning again.
Right.
Same way with justification. It just chopped off what happened in the past, and then you keep walking with, number one, having faith. You got to believe that God cut your sins off. If not, you're just dragging them with you. So see, it starts all with faith. Believing what God said. Having a conscience of your sin, but it being chopped off. You can't repent for what Adam done. You never done it. Adam did. You just get forgiveness for what you done. The old nature is still there.
Right.
Okay? All right, the old nature is still there. Now look, if you got the old nature still there, how's the room for this? Light and darkness can't dwell in the same place.
Right.
Okay? So you still got darkness. You can't have light. So see, there's no way you can come up to the statue of perfect man having the old nature that you had before. Amen? You can't have that old nature. That old nature's got to be dead, not put in a closet.
Right.
We'll get to that in a minute. Then secondly, comes sanctification, which sets your mind in order for holiness to think right. Taken away. Sanctification is a compound Greek word, which means clean and set aside for service, not in service. See, at sanctification, you shouldn't be taking communion. You can't be deacon. There's a lot of things you can't do because you're set aside for service. You're not put in service yet.
Right.
Okay? Putting in service for God is putting you in the family.
Amen.
Right here. This is what you get. This is the household of God. All right? The rest outside is the household of the devil. And remember by that picture I showed you, justification and sanctification was outside the pyramid. You're not in a family until you have faith, until you're born again. All right. Second comes sanctification, which sets our mind in order for holiness to think right, taken away. Sanctification is a compound Greek word, which means cleaned and set aside for service. Now what, in a type of the earth, what happened that? What did he say? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he spilled his blood on the earth to cleanse and claim the bodies that were in the earth. And all the bodies were in the earth, right?
Right?
To cleanse and claim the earth, Jesus shed his blood as a type of that sanctification. But now remember, did that do away with sin? They just kept right on sinning. 99% of the world never even knew Jesus was on the earth. Amen? Then the next comes the baptism of the fire and Holy Ghost that God might dwell in us. And the fire of God cleanses our heart from sin and puts the Holy Ghost inside. I thought you already had it.
Yeah.
No, you don't already have it. You weren't born with the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry. Naturally born.
Right.
Spiritually born, yes. Naturally born, no. You had to receive the Holy Ghost. Listen, why can't God come on this earth now?
Right.
Why can't God come on this earth now? All of His people are here. He's here in you and me. Why can't He physically step on this earth? This earth has not been burnt off for Him to step His foot on this earth. Same way with you. When you were in sin, you didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You didn't have the fire of God in you. You had the fire of the devil.
Right.
I speak for all of us.
Amen.
Brother Branham said he used to wash his car on Sunday and watch them people go by. Now, if he had the fire of God in him, he'd been in church.
Right.
You say a prophet? Yeah, remember, he was born a prophet.
Right.
But he had to receive the Holy Ghost just like you did.
Right. Amen.
I said just like you did. That's what he said. Then next comes the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, that God might dwell in us. In us. And the fire of God cleanses our heart from sin and puts the Holy Ghost inside. Then we bring forth the same life that this did, because that's in us.
Right.
Notice in the natural birth, when a woman gives birth to a baby, the natural life types the spiritual life. Now let me ask you a question on that one. When a baby's in a mother's womb, is it alive? No, it's not. Brother Branham said it's nothing but wiggling muscles, just like an animal. If you need a quote, I'll bring it to you. But we know that.
Right.
It is not a human being when it's in the womb. That's what the prophet of God said, and I believe it too. Because there's a life being brought forth. But that's just nothing but just the same as an animal at that point. That's what he said. And I agree with him. When a woman gives birth to a baby, the natural birth, first thing happens, breaking the water. Now, my point was, if we come here with an eternal life already in us, he can't type that.
Not right.
Everybody understand what I said?
Right.
He can't type that. Because if he types it like this, then the baby's already alive in the womb. The baby's not alive in the womb. The baby's not alive until the baby gets here.
Right.
After the water breaks, after the blood comes, then the spirit, the life.
Right.
Grab the little fella and spank him, and away he goes screaming, water, blood, spirit. And now when a baby is born into the kingdom of God, he comes the same way.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
Now notice, sanctification, the third stage, second stage, he's meant, there's second stage of it, cleanses the mind, sets the heart, the mind of the heart, in order of holiness.
Right.
A man can repent of sins, and he's still thinking of, well, maybe he's an immoral man. Every immoral looking woman he finds is still there. Maybe he's a drunkard. Every time he smells a drink, it's still there, see? But then when he gets sanctified, that cleanses that desire out of him. See, it takes the want of it away. He can still be tempted, sure. But he takes the want of it away still. But look, still he's not right yet.
Right.
You're not in this yet. You're not in the family of God yet. Now look, God knows whether you go on, will go on or not, but you don't.
Right.
God knows who's His.
Yes.
You just don't know it. You got to live it. You got to go through the experience.
Amen.
If not, it's not your experience.
Right.
Pretty simple.
Right.
It takes the want of it away. Still, he's not right yet. Then, he is baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, cleansed, burnt out, cleaned up, and then put into the service of God. Sanctification only sets them aside for service. Everybody understand that? Say amen. Okay? And notice just exactly how that come, the message come. Martin Luther, justification. John Wesley, sanctification. The Pentecostals, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The messages, that's where there can't be no more ages of it. See, we're at the end time. Three stages. Baptism cleans the heart with the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
So that's what I mean about clean. It cleans, it takes that old nature and kills it.
Right.
Doesn't kill your soul.
Right.
Your soul's you.
Right.
It burns the nature off of that thing that's contrary to all this. We're all born contrary to God.
Right.
I just wish we'd...
Right.
I can see... It burns my heart. I can see more of how... That it would be so easy to be born with an eternal seed, and that would be just easy, and it would there would be no overcoming and no fighting. You just always was this wonderful thing. No, I was going to hell.
Right.
I was going to hell. And God came to me and said, hey, you want some of me? And you either going to say yes or no. And then if I said yes, he said, hey, look at all these things I got for you. How much better is that, Brother Richard Marlowe? How much better is that in my heart to know that I had an experience? That I was on my way to hell. And I had an experience with an eternal God.
Glory.
And he thought so much of me, he came down and burnt that thing out of me. And then he put himself inside of me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Benny told me not to move around much. So I won't. One. Kind of wake you up a little bit. Now he's called the church through justification, called it through sanctification, and then filled it with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he took it through a process that he himself, the Holy Spirit himself, the Son of God, could dwell in the human heart. Now look, it's not the human heart. The heart of the person is, I'll read it in a minute. Now it has to go through that before he can come into it. I thought it was already there.
Yeah.
No, people. We were all born in sin.
Right.
Shaping in iniquity. Come forth into this world. There's only one man that wasn't born contrary to God.
Right.
That was God himself.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Everybody else was born contrary to God.
Right.
Because sex was not the way we were supposed to get here. Right? Spoken word, like it was when Jesus come. Notice he done the world where that bride is going to live in the same way, his same plan of salvation. Everybody got that?
Glory.
The same plan. Now let's go to number 5. Angel of the Lord, 1953. Brother Bram said, the new birth is an experience. It is a gift of God.
Right.
It's the seal of your faith. Because
right.
Peter doesn't say add to God's faith. Peter says add to your faith. In other words, add to what you believe in, virtue.
Right.
Add to what you believe in, knowledge.
Right.
All right? The Holy Spirit is a seal. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, for by you are sealed until the day of your redemption.
Right.
So put the last picture back up there, Brother Bob. Right there. So we have to go through justification. What is justification? Just to start over again, what is justification? Turning around and going in another direction.
Right.
God, I'm tired of living this. Look, people. If I went through it, you're going to have to go through it.
Right.
If I'm a son of God and you're a son of God or a daughter of God, if I went through it, you got to go through the same thing.
Right.
I went through that right there.
Right.
I'm tired of what I was. I don't want to do that no more. God says, okay. But that's not all. I come to church one night, stood right here and give my heart to the Lord.
Right.
Now, I may be a little different than some of you because I had a background. As far as that goes, being different. I had a background. When I was 14, 12, 11, 10, I knew nothing but this message. I was raised in this church. Sharon was raised in this church. Esther, some of the ones that are here. We were raised in this church. But remember, that don't give you free pass to the rapture.
Right.
Sharon was telling me, she said, 30 years. Well, sister, 20 years, I did my thing. Raised in the message, knew what the message said. But there was never a true justification. There was always that little, well, I'll fall back over here. But when I come to that point to where I was done with my past life, I believe I came into true justification. Now, I believe my sanctification may have come quicker than yours because I believe God had, you know, a work for me to do. Same way with you. But see, all the desire of all the things that I'd done, like chewing tobacco and all the things that I did, it went away that day. So I may have went a little bit quicker because you got to remember one thing. The people at the 120 in the upper room, when they received the Holy Ghost, it quickened all that word that they held. and they went from here, they went from justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost to right here.
Right.
In a very quick, short period of time. Why? They had a background of the Word. Okay? And that don't give you free ticket anywhere either. You can waste it. I did for about 20 years. I wasted all that knowledge, but it was nothing but human knowledge. Sharon, it was up here. It wasn't down here. I like that. That's what it was. It was all head knowledge. It was all, I knew what happened in the garden. I knew that water baptism was right. I knew that, but it never got down here. But this right here, true justification and sanctification is right here.
Right.
So I come to a realization. Then I come to sanctification, just like you're going to have to come to sanctification, where the unclean spirit goes out of you. Okay? Remember, we preached a sermon not too long ago on Ezekiel where it talks about a new heart. Okay? Well, that we got to go through that again. Right now, let's go to number 6. I'll let Brother Branham explain it better than I can. Number 6. Why some people can't keep the victory, 1957. Yes, that's what we need today is the experience of the new birth. Now, I want you to watch the order that Ezekiel brought it. He said, I'll give you a new heart, I'll give you a new spirit, and I'll put my spirit in you. Now, how many is that? Three. Three processes of grace. Ezekiel taught it before anybody else did. I'll give you a new spirit and put my spirit in your heart. I want you to watch. There's three of it. A new heart. I'll take the old stony heart away, what? The old nature, and start working on it. Right. That's the old, different heart you have. And I'll give you a new spirit. Now, many times there's been a terrible mistake. The people have thought sometimes that new spirit was the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's why you have to be careful in sanctification. That unclean spirit will go out and you'll feel good. You'll start feeling what? Religious, not Christian. You'll feel religious.
Yep.
Right? I did. Feel religious.
Yeah.
But something's got to come back in to make you the Christian.
Right.
All right? I want everybody to see this. I want everybody, I'm kind of like St. Martin was. I want to know everybody in this church has got the new birth.
Amen.
That's my desire, that everybody, not that I know it, that you know it.
Right. Amen.
Because if you know it and you got it, I'll know it. Because you'll act like it.
Right.
All right? Now, many times there's been a terrible mistake. The people have thought sometimes that a new spirit was the Holy Spirit. Because remember, sanctification, Brother Branham teaches on further in sanctification, that you become part of a religious order.
Right.
So you become religious. You become part of a religious order. But you can stay in that religion and die and go to hell.
Right.
Never go up the statue of a perfect man.
Right.
All right? Now, many times there's been a terrible mistake. The people have thought sometimes that the new spirit was the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? That new spirit, it makes you want to go to church. It makes you want to read your Bible. It makes you want to do, because it's a new spirit. Okay? It's a new one that you've never had before. But it isn't. It's a new spirit. God gives you a new, why you couldn't even get along with yourself with your old spirit.
Yeah.
How are you going to get along with the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Hmm? God had to give you a new spirit so you could get along with His Spirit.
Right.
And sometimes people, a new heart of flesh, so you'll receive it, then a new spirit in that heart, and then I'll put my spirit in that, you see. I'll explain it in a minute. Just hang on. New heart, new spirit, my spirit. Three things he spoke of. Justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. Works the same way. All right? Now, many times we try to make that thing just say, well, as soon as you get the new spirit, you quit your stealing. You quit your lying. Things like that. You say, oh, hallelujah, I got it. And you find out the first time anyone crosses your path, or a little bit, oh mercy, what a difference. Sure, you blow up like a frog eating buckshot. But let me tell you, brother, that's the reason you never got God's Spirit. That's true. Oh, you say He stepped on my toe. I'll just not put up with that, all right? That shows what you got in you. That's true. I'll put a new spirit in you, and then I'll put my spirit in you. Now, right here, watch this. Now, the heart is in the center of the emotions of the human being.
Right.
Everybody see that?
Right.
Now the heart, not the thumping part, your heart, the very person of the center of you, is the center of the emotions of the human being. Your heart is the middle of you. That's exactly right. So God puts a new heart in the middle of the old man. Then he puts a new spirit in the middle of the new spirit. Three rings. Then he puts a new spirit in the middle, He puts a new spirit in the middle of a new spirit, our heart, and puts his spirit in the middle of the new spirit.
Right.
One more time. You confused now? Your heart is the middle of you. So God puts a new heart in the middle of the old man. Then he puts a new spirit in the middle. Puts a new spirit in the middle of the new spirit. Remember sanctification, and he puts his spirit in the middle of the new spirit.
Right.
So see, you can have this new spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell.
Right.
Right. Right. Brother Branham said you can have you can have the Holy. He didn't say you can have the new birth.
No.
He said you can have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Anointing your spirit every day of your life and die and go to hell. Well, that's right here. But if he ever puts his spirit in the middle of that new spirit, you're born again. Right? You're done. Because his spirit, not your spirit or not another spirit, he puts his spirit in the middle of the new spirit. You're born again. Now you're a child of God. Now you can grow in God. Now you're just beginning. You're being born again.
Amen.
All right? Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? Now let's read number 7. We'll make a few comments. We'll honestly, I kind of enjoy this. Because at least I can finish up next Sunday or the next Sunday. The unfailing realities of a living God. Because you know, if you preach just one sermon, you got to have a punchline. You got to raise it to a crescendo. You know how they got to come up, you know, to where the ping. But when you got several days to do it or several sermons to do it, you really don't have to. Just give you some thoughts for next week so you can think on them. Now look, I want you to watch this. The unfailing reality is the living God, 1960. Brother Branham said, now the Holy Spirit will not misbehave itself in one person and behave itself in another.
Right.
It will make each person come into its character.
Right.
Because it's the Spirit that leads you. It brings, makes you subject to its nature. You don't bring it subject to your nature.
Right.
It makes you subject to its nature. And the Holy Spirit makes you live and love to do it.
Right.
Not just do's and don'ts. That takes do's and don'ts out right there. It makes you live and love to do it. Oh, how you love to give up the things of the world when the Holy Spirit comes in. How it cleans you and washes you and puts a desire in you to follow Him and a thirst and a hunger for more of it. For more of it. Just bathing yourself, He brings realities.
Amen.
Amen? There's more to it than just getting born again. Sure, you get it all when you believe. But you don't know what you got. You just don't know what you got. Is that simple enough to explain it that way? You get the Holy Ghost, you get everything you need. You got everything you need for your body change. You just don't understand it. You just don't know how to get to it yet. Just same way with that boy back there. I had his name and I just forgot it. But anyway, he's got everything he needs to drive the car. All the faculties. He's just not mature enough to do it. He hasn't understood yet what he's got.
Exactly right.
Right? Same way with you and I. We've got the Holy Ghost. So like I said, we've got the power. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got eternal life in your soul. But God just doesn't want that to happen. He wants to take what's in there and move it out. Where to go out? Let's read this next quote right here, number 8. If God be with us, then where's all the miracle? Someone said to me one time, a noted doctor was talking about a miracle that had happened among a sick person. He said to me, preacher, don't you believe if you told them people to go out and touch a tree or a post, the same thing would take place? I said, no, sir. I said, because you cannot have faith in touching a tree or a post. Faith is not that loose. It's got to be based upon some noted fact.
Right.
You've got to know something about what you are having faith in.
Right.
before you can drive the car, before you can have faith in it. So we first must know how and what.
Right.
What God's desire is, what God's plan is, and how to approach God by that plan. And then we can walk up boldly to the throne of grace and plead what the plan is promised us. Everybody got that?
Amen.
You cannot have faith in touching a tree or a post. Faith is not that loose. It's got to be based on some noted fact. So there's where we put the foundation of our faith on what the Word of God says. Not just the letter of the Word. The revelation. Because remember, faith is a revelation. Right? All
right,
let's go to number 9. Is your life worthy of the gospel, 1963? When this takes place, the thing you'll do then, you'll find out that the Spirit that comes in you from the new birth, you will believe and do everything that God says in His Word for you to do. Is that pretty plain? And everything that the Bible quotes for you to do, you'll punctuate it with an amen. And you'll not stop day or night until you receive it. That's right. That's right. And in all this time, you certainly, above everything, bear the fruits of the Spirit. So you're bearing the fruits of the Spirit even as you go along. You say, well, I speak with tongues. You might do that and you might not. Well, I shout. You might do that. You might not. But there's one sure thing you will do. You'll bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Glory.
Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, patience. Your temper will not be old. Just remember when you get that, that poisons the Holy Spirit away from you. See? When you your temper will not be old. Just remember, when you get to that, that poisons the Holy Spirit away from you. See? When you get to a place that you want to fuss with everybody you come along with, there's something wrong. When you get a place where a minister will read from the Bible, that it's wrong to do a certain thing, and you'll just remember, there's no Christianity there at all. That's now that by their fruits you shall know them. That's what Jesus said, see? Roll it on up. It's the Word and God said so. That Spirit in you will cope with that Word every time. Because genuine Holy Spirit will cope with the Word, because the Word is life and Spirit. Now, let me stop here for a moment. He's not saying you'll understand every bit of it, just like driving the car. You won't understand it. You got to be taught.
Amen.
All right? But it's there. If you got the Holy Spirit and you hear that Word, you'll not be contrary to it.
Right.
You can't. Because look, how can the Word deny the Word? If you got eternal life and He is the Word, how can the Word deny the Word? What kind of a person would you make God? That's one thing to know, that you're a Christian, and when you come fully, when you can fully agree upon every Word of God.
Amen.
Now you might say, I don't understand that part, but you'll never read that Bible and say, well, I don't believe that. Right?
Right.
I mean, if you look at this Bible and say, well, now, I don't believe He said that, then you're an unbeliever.
Right.
Right? You're an unbeliever. You make yourself an unbeliever. But you can read the Word of God like we all do and say, well, now I really don't understand that yet. I put a comma, yet. Because if it's in the Word and you got the Holy Ghost, somewhere along the line He's going to reveal it to you. He's got to. All right, let's finish this. Let's go to Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Now this is, after the seals, this is one of the great messages that He preached, and He preached it mainly on the new birth. Because Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But remember, it's not just Christ, it's Christ in you.
Right.
Is the mystery. The mystery of this world is that God is now living in a group of people.
Glory.
And we're hid from the world.
Right.
The world will not see me anymore. But you'll see me.
Right.
For I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world.
Right.
So who's going to see Him? Only the people that are in that faith are going to be able to see, truly see what God is and where He is.
Right.
You know, the denomination says, well, we think this and we think that. No, we know where He's at.
Right.
He's in the Word of God.
Amen.
Look, Christ in you makes Him the center of life of the revelation.
Amen.
Christ's life in you makes Him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you, which is what? The Word. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God's trying to do?
Glory.
What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally
right.
to you.
Amen.
The revelation of who that man is personally to you. Not a revelation of who the prophet is. Not a revelation of who Brother Dale is. A revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Like I've said many times before, and I hope you don't get this wrong, I'm going to say it again. When we start talking about that city, it's 1,500 miles square, right? That's a long way. That city's a pretty big city. That's where the bride lives, right? That's where the chosen, elected lady, that's where his wife is going to live, right? The whole bride of Jesus Christ is going to live in that city. The blood washed. The eternal. All the glorious things that we get. But 99% of them people is never going to hear about William Branham. Or have never heard of William Branham. Or the message of the hour. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not belittling the message. What I'm saying is, Brother Branham come to turn us back to that man right there.
Right.
Not the revelation of William Branham. See, a lot of people get the revelation of William Branham. You got to get a revelation of Jesus Christ, and that will turn you. See, what is Malachi 4 to do? Turn the heart of the children to the fathers. That's what the prophet of God did. He turned us, and he showed us really where Christ was. Not somewhere over there. What did Moses do? He said, God's not over there. He's not over here. He's right here. Not you joined a church, you shook a hand or done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules. See, that's the message. That's the old message. Live by a code of rules. Your dress has got to be 4 inches. But Christ the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, now see, this is the part you got to hold on to because that's your foundation. We'll talk a little bit about that next Sunday. But your foundation is you got to believe beyond anything else.
Right.
You got to believe no matter what anybody says,
right.
What takes place is Christ.
Right.
Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was what?
Built
upon. So what is this built upon? The foundation. The foundation is that you have got to believe. Faith, you've got to believe in something.
Right.
You say, well, I'm Lutheran. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. That don't mean one. Don't mean, Brother Bam snaps his finger, that don't mean one thing to God. Not a thing. Not a snap of your finger. What is it? It's Christ being revealed, and he is the Word. And when the Word is revealed, it's not just revealed. It expresses itself.
Right.
It comes out, it expresses itself. See, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ was to express himself. That was God's purpose, to express himself so that we can understand a God that can't be understood. How can you understand a God that created something from nothing?
Right.
How can you understand a God that before the eternal, he was eternal? How can you understand that? You can't. But when he come down, condescended himself to Jesus Christ, I can understand that.
Right.
And I can understand the one that created the world lived in that.
Amen.
And that was my Savior.
Amen.
That God came. See, so now he's condescended so that we can see that great God's purpose for Jesus Christ was to express himself. To take his own laws and live by his laws. And fulfill his law by death. And Christ, God, died in the flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh that he might bring to himself a glorious bride. Redeemed back. That will believe only in the Word of God and not swap it like Eve did for intellectual conception of man. You see it. That's Christ's idea.
Right.
That's God's idea. The new birth reveals this.
Amen.
Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. All
right,
let's go to one more and then we'll stop right here. Paradox, 1963. That virgin birth was a mystery to the people. They couldn't understand it. Now, this message was preached right after Christ the Mystery of God Revealed was preached, because it was preached on 7 in July. This was the 1st of August. So he's still continuing his same thought. That virgin birth was a mystery to the people. They couldn't understand it, just like the new birth is today.
Right.
The new birth is a mystery to the people.
Right.
They can't understand it. They don't know what you mean. They have belittled it.
Amen.
Watch this. That same devil's working today
right.
in the message of the hour.
Right.
They have belittled it, bring it down, saying, well, just because you believe something. The devils believe the same thing and tremble. It isn't what you believe, it's what God has actually done.
Right.
The new birth is a birth. It was a paradox when God brought new life to the human race. To reject it is eternal separation.
Right.
To receive it is eternal life. You're on the same basis as Adam and Eve was.
Right.
You can take, if God puts you on anything else, it would be unjust to Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
So remember, because he's the greatest judge there is. He's the only eternal, perfect judge. We can judge on earth and make mistakes. God can't
right.
judge and make mistakes.
Right.
It would be unjust to Adam and Eve. Each Adam and Eve tonight has got the right and wrong setting before them. You can make your choice. You can take God's word or leave God's word.
Yeah.
It's up to me and you.
Right.
You can take it or you can leave it.
Right.
But the new birth is a mystery.
Glory.
So the statue of a perfect man has to be a mystery.
Sure. Right.
It has to be a mystery.
Right.
People cannot understand it because it's a mystery.
Right.
But let me hit this real strong. If you're not born again, you're not going to understand it.
Right.
You're going to try your best to live as close as you can to it. But it's just like Brother Brown said, the blackbird trying to stick peacock feathers into his body. Somewhere you're going to shake them off and you're going to still be the blackbird. All right? So the basis of this whole thing that all today is faith is the new birth.
Glory.
So faith has to be something that you believe in. Not just something you believe in. You got to believe that God
Glory.
Did what He did for you.
Amen.
Not for Richard Marlowe, not for Danny Fountain.
Right.
He did it for me.
Right.
He didn't die for them, He died for me.
Right.
Sorry. Well, you got to say He died for you, not me, because you know what? You don't know that He died for me. I know it, sure, we know He died for all of us, but I'm talking about the culmination of it. The culmination to get into this right here. There's a lot of... There's a lot of people comes right here and don't have enough faith to get the new birth.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They come right here at sanctification and don't have enough faith to get the new birth. See, let's just explain it like this. This is the wise virgin. This is the foolish virgin.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
This is the wise virgin because they have oil. Oil is a type of the Holy Ghost, right? But now, listen to this, though. Where does the foolish virgins go to try to get the oil? They try to go to the ones that's got the oil. So they're going to try to come, you know, you can't go get gasoline. I mean, you can't go get gasoline at a water station. Or you can't go get water at a gasoline station. You understand what I'm saying? They have to come. They know they need the oil. But what do they say? They say, we only have enough for ourselves. Because really, you're only going to have enough to get yourself through.
Right.
You're not going to have enough for your wife.
Right.
Or your children.
Right.
Or your family. You're going to have enough for you to get in.
Yes.
Now, they can come to you for the oil, but what if the oil's not there?
Right.
What if the oil's not there for them to get it?
Right.
Like Brother Ram said about a bounced check, he said... Somebody goes and writes a check. Got no money in the bank. What does it do? Comes back insufficient funds.
Okay.
Let me leave you with that thought, because as we go up this statue of a perfect man, the first one is virtue. Virtue is what? Strength.
Right.
You've got to have it to be able to draw from it.
Glory.
You can't acquire it. Somebody need it, and then you'd say, well, I got to go get it. No. It's got to be something that's birthed in you.
Right.
Each one of these, let's stand. Each one of these is a birth. All right? This, each one, this is being, we'll read it next Sunday. You know what? Peter, the same one that said you got to be born again to get into this, same Peter said, being born again.
Exactly.
By what? The incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever.
Right.
So I want you to think about that till next Sunday. These virtues are a birth.
Right.
They are not just, well, I need to have it, well, I think I'll get it. No, it's a birth.
Right.
It's a birth of what? The Word. I believe it's the birth of the Word you hold on to. Because I don't think that... who was that said this morning? Somebody said, Brother Al. Brother Al said, I'm going to have to listen to this 4 or 5 times. He said, because I'm not going to get it all at one time. And he's right. Out of this 1 hour and 10 minute sermon, you're probably going to get 15 minutes of information.
Right.
That you might take back and apply it to your life or think about it till next week. That's why we've been around for 50 years. Really. That's why we've been around for 50 years. We're only getting a little bit at a time, but I hope you get enough, a little bit at a time to carry you on.
Right.
To carry you on in the revelation of God. Not a revelation that I got a revelation. You got to have a revelation that you got a revelation. Amen? It's got to be personally to you. I want us to have a personal relationship with God. I believe sometimes our relationship comes, well, Brother Branham was a prophet, Brother Dale was a preacher, or the pastor, and Brother Bob's a Sunday school teacher, and I got it all from them. Well, yeah, you'll get it from them, but it's not just because they got it that you got it. Right? Not just because they got it. You got to get it yourself.
Amen.
You got to get yourself in the family. You got to be involved. I want everybody to have the new birth. Because you know what? It changes. It'll change your life. I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
Oh,
you want to sing something? Yeah, let's sing something.
Let's try that 67.
In
the spiral book.
Spiral book? 67 in the spiral book. Didn't mean to put you on the spot over there.
Been out of line.
No, you're doing fine. No.
I do get out of line.
From Bethlehem's manger
came forth a stranger.
In earth
I long. It says in earth, not on earth, in earth.
To be like him. My faithful
Savior. Everything that it's supposed to accomplish in the name of Jesus Christ. You believe they will. That's all you got to do.
On earth I long to be like him,
my faithful Savior. Favor in earth I long to be like him.
In the name of Jesus Christ, give her the desire of her heart, that everything will work out for your honor and glory, Lord, and not for each one of us, but for you, Lord. She's already confessed it, and we believe it. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it be done. Amen.
This morning for your home, come and get them. Or either at your work.
All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him.
You know, there's one thing I want you to understand through all this. There's a point in time where we all come to a place
to where when we first started, you know, with the Lord, it was wonderful, and then all of a sudden, you know, you thought maybe God took a vacation and you can't find him nowhere. Who all went through that? Okay. But he's still there. He just wants us to grow up. Not be children. Not cry daddy, daddy anymore. The times that we lay hands on the sick, that's fine. But you know, there's a lot of times you watch Brother Branham and you watch Jesus, and that's our example, right? You watch them, you watch Brother Branham in the prayer line, and you watch Jesus in the prayer line, or talking to a demon. He don't scream. The demon's not deaf and God's not deaf. Sure, what the problem is, though, what many times we try to get that emotion built up to where you get the people's faith built up, which is fine. That's okay. But now, it comes a time to where you start talking to devils. You don't have to scream at them. He's going to stay right there until the life of God tells him to leave. Remember the legion? Jesus never laid hands on any of them people. Actually, the devil said, can we go? They don't even want to stand around close by. The devil said, Jesus, why did you come here before our time? What are you doing here? You let us leave. And you know what he said? Go. He didn't scream, shout, you know, beat him on the head. He said, go. And they said, please, can we go into these, you know, into these animals over here? You know, they were actually in subjection to the God that was standing in front of them. When you come up for prayer, when you break the sound wave, when you speak and you confess something, believe that it's already done then. Sometimes what we do is we come up here, and that's okay, but we come up here and we ask something, and then you want the preacher to pray, then you want God to do it, you know, then you want the manifestation of it. Remember, God does it. Then he reveals it. The last thing is he makes it manifest. But he already does it. When you open your mouth and you make that confession of what you need, doesn't matter who it's for, it's for you or somebody else. But you make that confession, right then believe that before a preacher prays for you, anoints you with oil or anything, believe right then that God heard you first. He heard you before the foundation of the world. But see, you got to come up and make a confession. And once you make that confession, you know, watch Brother Branham. He'll come up, he'll say, you've got a demon. And then he'll start going back and picking their life out and finding out where that demon. Remember the woman that was in the insane asylum? He said you could have poured 55 gallons of oil on that woman's head and that devil would have stayed right there. I know the Bible says, and we should, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith. But you know, you remember what Brother Brown did one time to cast out a devil? He said the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Remember that? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be. The devil left.
Right.
He didn't have to raise anything up. He just quoted the word.
Right.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth,
Amen. As
it is in heaven. The devil knew then he was right there in earth.
Right.
So that devil just had to leave. He didn't have to scream at him. So we don't have to scream at the devil. But remember, it's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble.
Right.
It's the life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. Amen? It's the life behind the name. So what I'm trying to get us to see, it's the life that we live. It's what the devil's looking at. Remember, he's very spiritual. He knows whether you got it or not. He knows whether you got it or not. Even before you know whether you got it or not. Because remember, he's right there behind God. So let's realize that when we come up for prayer, believe it's settled as you just, Brother Brown said, just walking up to the altar defeats the devil. Getting out of bed in the morning and put your feet on the floor, all of hell breaks loose. Oh God, a born again believer's done got up out of the bed again. Well, you know what? You didn't have to go, you didn't have to shout at no demon. They know where you're at. Right? They know where my house is. If they not, don't know where yours is at, they'll soon find it. But you got to take this and believe that God's already done it.
That's right.
It's already done. Even this is already finished, but we got to go through the process of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to get into that body to where we can... You know what? I love Brother Dick. but he's not my daddy. Brother Dick's got a will, right? You got, oh, Brother Dick's got a will. I'm not in his will because I'm not his son. I'd like to be. But I'm not. Maybe Sister Gail's, not his. I'll be in Sister Gail's will. But the reason I'm not, though, is why? I'm not a part of that family. Oh, she might will me something because she likes me. But no, in God, though, what is his will? His will is his word. He's already wrote his will. And if you're not in the family, you don't get the promises that's in here. You know what? You don't deserve them. I don't deserve Brother Dick's money because I didn't come from him. Or Sister Gail, either one. I sure probably would be brother with her. But you understand what I'm saying? Natural things, type spiritual things. If you're a child of the devil, you know what? You don't get any of these benefits. But if you're a child of God, and God knows your heart, he'll know whether you're going to make that or not. But you do not know. But you got to fight your way through it. You are going to fight every day of your life. This is not a picnic. This is the battle.
Right.
We didn't come with forks and spoons. We come with knives
right. And
swords. And that's what you got to do. You got to fight your way through. And fight your way through this week and come out Wednesday night. What are they supposed to listen to? I was in the back and I didn't hear what you said. Questions and answers on Genesis. I think I know where that's going to. But remember that. That's a good one. So remember that. Also read Statue of Perfect Man, Blasphemous Names. For next Sunday. I hope you're enjoying this. I hope it helps everybody. And I hope you can understand. Because I want everybody to understand that if you're not born again, this is not for you.
Right.
But you can be. You say, oh, if I'm predestinated seed, I'll come. That's a whole sermon in itself. But it's your free moral agency decides whether you get in or not.
Amen.
Your free moral agency. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with us as we leave. Grant the requests of all these people, Lord, that's come up, your children, your sons and daughters, Lord. They've come, Lord, with a petition to you, Father. Now it's been taken to the angels, and the angels delivered to you, Father. And now as their faith arises, Lord, may you bring everything to pass that's been asked for. Even the things that's asked for in the congregation. I know many times, though, there's been things in the congregation that people have asked for that didn't even have to come up here, Lord. That your word healed them and took care of them right there where they were sitting. Father, we pray that you'll raise our faith up so that we can believe that we are the children of God. Not going to be or not could be, but we are the children of an eternal living God. Bless us now, Father. Go with us. May you break the bands that bind us with all this sickness and cold and flu. May everyone come back to service, Lord, and be well and not have to worry about this old flu and all the things that are going around, Lord. These prayer cloths have been given out. Now we have a ring of fire, a wall of fire around us with nothing now to fear, Lord. We ask you to take care of us now. Bless us as we go our way. Come back on Wednesday night in service for you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
All hail King Jesus.